Thank you, voiceover guy. Appreciate that. Happy to be with you on this Thirsty Thursday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. A lot of action to get to here today on the high school side of things. Take a look at our sports broadcasting schedule coming up later on in the program. And we've got a couple of guests as well on the show, as we'll be joined by the head coach of the Cyclones of Clark Willow Lake, head boys basketball coach Jerome Nesham. He'll be joining us here in the next 10 to 15 minutes or so. And then Tim Coiste, the head coach of the Hamlin Charger girls basketball squad, he'll be joining us as well. So an abundance of high school boys and girls basketball talk here on the program today as we get primed up and ready for a busy weekend, certainly with Aberdeen Christian, Aberdeen Roncalli, Aberdeen Central, and of course on the college side of things, NSU. They've got I Hate Winter Weekend coming up this weekend as well, so busy broadcasting slate to be sure. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by Matt McClure. Happy Thursday, sir. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you very much. Glad that we're on the back half of the work week. I'm looking forward to I Hate Winter Weekend. And, you know, I typically don't do a whole lot of spoilers and what have you, but I will tell you this. I've got a really fun conversation with Connor Libous for Pack Chat. And let me tell you something. I was absolutely blown away. And I know that he is a South Dakota sports history savant, but if you love sports history, specifically South Dakota high school sports history, this is the conversation for you. And of course, it airs on Friday and Saturday alike. But let me tell you, there's some things in there that he was talking about. I was just like, how do you even know this right now? So it's a really, really fun discussion, and that that airs on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I saw that on the Facebook and Twitter page, and I'm looking forward to listening to Connor. Like you said, we had him in studio last year. He's just got a wealth of knowledge of information just about South Dakota sports, and we had him in studio. I had a lot of fun with that show when he was here, and I'm looking forward to hearing those conversations there, Tukes, this weekend for sure.
He's like a younger version of Dave Vilhauer, and that's a great compliment. I'm talking about history that just he knows. Hey, Dave, remember that one game in 1991 when Team X played Team Y? Oh, yeah, when so-and-so went off for 27 points, he hit that big three from the left wing. Like, that's the kind of guy that Dave is, and that's the way Connor kind of was with our conversation. So really, really fun discussion with him, and looking forward to airing that coming up on Friday and Saturday. That's on the guys' side of things. And, of course, you've got the women's side of things as well, with the number 6th-ranked team coming into town coming up tomorrow, and we'll have DeConte Smith on the program for that as well. And we're going to record that in about an hour. So she'll be here in a little bit of time, and we'll get into that discussion coming up before you know it. But you'll hear that, of course, on Friday and Saturday. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by
Mr. Unlimited.
Let's get to the jump here on FSA, 1420 and 98.5. And there's something I wanted to play yesterday, but we had some technical problems. So I've got the opportunity to play it right here and right now. This came across my feed on X, I think it was yesterday?
It was yesterday.
Yesterday morning, yeah. And it was Dan Hurley. Now, Dan Hurley is, of course, the head coach of the defending two-time national champions of UConn, UConn Huskies head coach. And I'm not trying to be Mr. Throw Stones guy, but I'll just be honest with you. He's just an unlikable guy. He just is. I don't know how much you know about Dan Hurley, but just his exterior. I'm sure he's a nice guy. I'm sure he's a great family man. I'm sure he's a great husband. I'm sure he's a great father. But for the 40 minutes on game day that the camera is on him on the sideline, he just seems unlikable. Now, the other day in a game, he was trying to talk to an official, and the official just really wasn't having it. So Hurley chases the guy down, and let's just play the audio. This is from the post-game show from, I think it was Tuesday night. Go ahead.
I think TV got you saying something like, don't turn your back on me, I'm the best coach in the country.
Did I say that? Yeah. I mean, I know we you know, I'm going to sound like all here, so, you know, he just, I want to, I want some level of communication, too, especially when you just...
So anything short of, yeah, I was in the heat of the moment, I probably shouldn't have said that. Anything short of that is, what are you doing?
I got no problem with it at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got
you look at
problem.
Me, I'm the best coach in the country. I don't like that. That just screams narcissist to me. I'm not a big fan of that.
Well, I mean, the ref had his back turned to him.
Sure.
That was the problem. Like, you're not showing me respect. Like, I'm the best dang coach in the league. Or I'm the best dang coach in college. I got zero problem with Dan Early in that spot at all. He is.
Yeah, I disagree. I completely disagree. I have no
problem. His back's literally turned. It's not like he's, like, going straight up. Like, his back, the ref was showing disrespect to him, ignoring him.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way to get. Sorry for hitting the mic there, but. The only reason he said that was because it ticked him off that the ref was just ignoring him, so he had to say something like that to get his attention.
Do you want to know why the referee probably had his back turned to him? Probably because he was in his ear for the last 25 minutes, and everybody has a limit.
That's a good,
like,
good
we always see these viral clips on Twitter and X and Facebook, and, how could this person do such a thing to the other person? What happened before the video started rolling?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We see this all the time. So what happened before we saw that? I'm sure Dan Hurley was in the guy's ear the entire time, and I'm totally with you. I understand, you know, giving him the proper respect of looking him eye to eye and having that conversation, but to me, I'm the best effing coach in the league, in the country, that to me screams, hey, I'm a tool also. Who does that? Who says that?
Good point. I just got no problem with him saying that at all.
Sure. Okay. Interesting. I thought that was just kind of interesting.
No. I mean, it's good discussion.
Yeah. To me, I get the fact that he wants to be looked at, no question, but I'm the best, I don't love that.
Sure.
That's just me.
Good. I mean, that's fine.
Yeah. Teach their own. So, speaking of things that I saw on social media I thought was interesting, maybe you can help me out with this because you're a little younger than I am.
Sure thing.
Saquon Barkley this last weekend on that long touchdown run against the Rams, I don't know if you noticed, but he was kind of smacking his head a little bit.
I did see that.
That final 20-yard run, he's kind of smacking his head. He was really fired up. And he was asked about that yesterday in a conversation in a little bit of a presser. He said, I don't know why I was doing it. I was crashing out, as the kids say. Can you help me with this? What does this mean, crashing out?
I think it's like another word for blacking out.
Oh.
Like, not like from a alcohol perspective, but just like, you know, when you like black out. Like,
you're in the moment.
You're in the moment. I think it's like a heat of the moment type thing.
Okay.
I think.
Crashing out.
That would be my best guess for it, dude.
I'm telling you. I mean, here we are in 2025. I am just not with it, with the kids' lingo and what have you. I just don't get that one, so. Maybe if you want to give us a phone call here in studio, you can certainly jump on the air and tell us what crashing out means, because that is over my head, kind of beyond my pay grade. So kind of interesting there. Speaking of press conferences, yesterday Ben Johnson was officially announced as the Chicago Bears' new head coach, or introduced anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And he was quoted saying, to be quite frank with you, I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year. Of course, the Lions beat the Packers this last year twice. And I just thought to myself, isn't that just immediately bulletin board material for Green Bay? And, like, you're a member of the Chicago Bears now. We know what happens with the Chicago Bears. We know what happens when coaches go to Chicago. We know what happens when quarterbacks go to Chicago. Now, you think you're going to be the different head coach? Maybe. Maybe he's the difference in the last 40-plus years. Maybe he will be. But maybe he won't. And you're just adding fuel to an unnecessary fire that needs to be lit.
I completely agree with you. I don't know why he said that. I guess he's trying to get the fans fired up, but can you win a game first? Can you go through the draft and through training camp first before we're talking about beating the Packers, which it was the first time in the history. In the history, you beat them in the last game of the regular season. I think that ended like a streak of double-digit straight games where the Packers won. So how about you worry about – and let's not forget – that when you were with Detroit, you had the best running back duo in the league, the best offensive line in the league, one of the best receiving corps in the league. You're not getting that with Chicago. You had one of the worst offensive lines in the league last year. Caleb Williams was sacked the most out of any quarterback in the NFL. It's not like you're just going to roll in there year one, and he might, but it's not like you're going to roll in there year one and you're going to be what the Lions were. It's not happening.
Yeah, I don't see it happening. And again, we may be frying up some crow next January when the Bears turn out to be a good team. Maybe. We'll see. But the odds are stacked against the Chicago Bears because of history and who their ownership continues to be. Well, how many times do I always say off the air? It really all starts at the top.
Yep.
It always starts with the top, and the Bears continue to have some of the worst ownership in all of football. I just don't see the Chicago Bears competing with them. Talking about the Packers and the Vikings in that division. Now, the cupboard is dry for Detroit. You're going to have a lot of free agents. Both of their coordinators are certainly gone, so we'll see what the Lions look like next year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be curious, but it's the Bears.
It is the Bears.
It's the Bears.
It is the Bears, and they'll figure out a way to screw it up. That's what they do.
There's no
doubt. Except for one random year every, it seems like, 5 to 10 years, they'll be good for whatever reason. They'll have, like, a unbelievable defense and somehow win 10, 11 games.
Yeah, 1985 and 2006 were the last times the Bears were, I mean, really, really, really good. Now, they did lose in the NFC Championship in, I think it was 2011?
Yep.
Memory serves against the Packers, and B.J. Raji had the big belly
shake.
Jay
Cutler riding on the bike game.
That's right. Caleb Haney coming in.
And then they made the playoffs with Mitch Trubisky with the double doink. I think they went 12-4 that year. That was a really random year, too.
Yeah, one and done.
Yep. And Matt Nagy was the coach there, and obviously he's not there anymore.
Look on his face after the double doink, though. It's classic. Good stuff. You know what? The Bears hate bandwagon. We're here for it. I'm sorry, Bears fans out there, but you're like a self-opening pinata.
Yep.
It's just content all over the place.
It really is.
That's a shame. Coming up next on the show, we're talking some high school hoops. Jerome Nesham, the head coach of the Cyclones of Clark Willow Lake, he'll be joining us next on FSA. We're rocking and rolling on a Thursday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Feel a little feisty today, aren't we?
Oh, no doubt about it. First segment certainly did.
Yeah. You know, I like sometimes when we disagree.
Yeah. There you go.
It's good. You know, it can't be all agreement, all buddy-buddy all the time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That was good stuff. That was good discussion.
No doubt about it. All right, he's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. This is the Sports Hub on FSA. Pleased to be joined by the head coach of the Cyclones of Clark Willow Lake on the boys' side of things, Jerome Nesham. Coach, thanks for taking some time this morning. How are you, sir?
Good. Thanks for having me.
You got it. It's our pleasure, for sure. Yeah, we're talking about Dan Hurley a little bit in our first segment, and he's just an interesting character, for sure. And
yes, he is.
Yeah,
that's
the nice way to describe it. Yeah, he's a nice character. I said, I'm sure he's probably a great husband, a great father, and this, that, and the third, but for the 40 minutes on game day, when the camera's on him...
You never know what you're going to get.
You never know what you're going to get. It's like an episode of Forrest Gump or something like that. That
this
movie.
Is so true to watch him.
It is. You know, I feel like if I were a season ticket holder, I would be so torn between watching the game and watching Dan Hurley on the sideline. I'd be like, do I watch the game or do I watch this guy just completely blow his top? But
yeah, because at some point he's going to lose his cool. But they do a lot of good stuff, but then every once in a while he's going to lose it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He's an interesting character. I said to Matt off the air, I'm like, sometimes you got to pick your spots. Like, bro, there's 18:50 left to go in the first half. You need to dial it back. It's not like the game-ending call, but that's neither here nor there. So I'm sure you're probably not you don't have probably the amount of screaming capability as Dan Hurley does to the referees here in South Dakota. But a very successful start to the season, I think, for you guys, Coach. You're sitting at 8-2 right now. How do you like the progress so far of the start of the season for you guys?
You know, I really like our progress so far. You know, we're super young, and our young guys have really progressed really nicely this year. Even from last year into this year, our progression has been really, really good.
Yeah, you know, you're a young team, and I've been following you guys a little bit here this year, and I just like the progress your young guys have showed, like Bo Begeman. I mean, he's really had a nice year for you guys. Your 6'6 sophomore forward. So those young guys are just gaining a little bit more experience. And when that comes with winning, right, Coach, that can help with the confidence of a young team.
That really helps. When you start winning some games, win some close games, that really helps their confidence and that what they're doing is really good for them. So they kind of buy into it a little bit more when you win some games. When you start losing games, that's when they start doubting themselves.
Jerome Nesham joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And I want to take you back, Coach, kind of a long time. Well, at least it feels like a long time to a certain degree. It probably feels like just yesterday for some. But when you guys won the state tournament here back in Aberdeen, when you guys were a Class B team, how long does it take to kind of have that transition between, hey, we're an A squad now to a B squad? Because I'm looking up and down your schedule, you see a lot of those B squads on there too as well. So how does that kind of shake out to kind of make that transition from B back to A?
You know, the difference between B and A is the number of reserves that you have. When you're in the B ranks, you need two or three really good players, and you just kind of play five guys, maybe six. In the A ranks, the bigger schools like Sioux Falls Christian and schools like that, when they sub, they don't lose anybody when they sub. It's the same player coming back in. When you, in our size, you know, you've got, in Class A, you got to find some bench players that can produce some points and to give those starters a rest. That's the only really difference in it. It's the same type of basketball. I mean, there's really good basketball in Class B, and the only difference in Class B to Class A is your depth.
Looking at your roster a little bit more here, Coach, we talked about your team here a little bit on the program the last couple weeks, and we mentioned Sully Fellberg. I looked here. He's a 6'7 freshman, Coach. I mean, still a lot of room to grow with him, but he's having a great season.
Yeah, he's a tremendous player. And, he was 6'7 at the beginning of the year. He may be closer to 6'8 now. The guy just keeps growing, and he just keeps getting better and better, you know. And we rely on him quite a bit, even though he is a freshman. He played a little bit as an eighth grader. But our guys really gravitate to him. When we need to score, sometimes we're going to Sully.
A lot of spinach or something? Like, what's the deal?
I don't know. But, you know, he's a triplet. And his brother Trigg also plays for me. The other one, Archer, does not play. Their mother is, as we used to be Tia Mahalski, who played at Northern. She was 6'4". Their dad is 6'6", so we're hoping to get into the 7-foot range.
Right. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
He's the younger brother of Kaplan Fellberg, right?
Yes, absolutely.
He was a great player for you guys there. Yeah. For a while. I remember I did a Britton Clark Willow Lake game. He went absolutely off of that. He could stretch the floor from the outside as well.
Yes, I mean there's a lot of basketball in that family. There's a lot of bloodline there. So and that family puts a lot of time into this. So I mean, like Sully's future is probably going to be basketball. He's going to be able to pick and choose maybe his college that he wants to go to if he keeps developing, and that's kind of the route we're on with him.
Yeah, that's some good bloodline for sure. Some God-given gifts, no question about
it.
6'7" as a freshman. I think I probably shot up maybe 4 or 5 inches between my freshman and sophomore year, but that was really about it. I'm still in the early sixes there. I think I'm 6'1.5", 6'2", something like that. But 6'2", sure, we'll go with that.
I got wider. Yeah, we'll go with that. It's not taller.
Yeah, well, I'm working on the wider myself. Jerome Nesham joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. And, you know, you had a tough go against Castlewood, but you know what? They're a great Class B squad. Even though you lose a game like that, I'm sure that's a great learning opportunity for you guys going up against Coach Rosh. You know, he's one of the best to do it in Class B, one of the best to do it in the state, I think. And I don't think there's any doubt about it that a game like that, you can take a lot of positives from. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's really fair to say, because we were able to take some things from there. I mean, they got some really good players. And we made it kind of, I think, hard for them to score. So I was really proud of how well we defended, especially the Brian Lau kid, who's 6'9", and he's all of 6'9" down low. And Sully defended him extremely well. We were able to defend the Kessler kids well. We just couldn't score. And we had some really good looks at the basket that just didn't go in. So a lot of positives. And we were taking really good shots. We had open shots. They just didn't go in. So those are positives that we take with our kids that, you know, we did a lot of things right. The shot just didn't go in. And that's the one thing in a game of basketball you can't control, whether the shot goes in or not.
It's a make or miss game, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And kind of a follow-up there with Sully Fellberg guarding Brian Lowy. Is that one of those situations where you kind of sit him down after that game, after the dust settles, so to speak, and you say, hey, you know, you kind of held your own a couple of times here against this guy who is going to be playing at the D2 level coming up next year, down at USF. And you say, hey, you know, you held your own against this guy. Do you have conversations like that to say, hey, I know if you can do that against him, you know, the sky's kind of the limit for you?
Absolutely, we had that conversation. Even during the game, there was times I asked if he needed a break, and he was very determined not to come out of the game because he wanted to guard him. You know, when you become that competitive, you're only going to get better.
Looking at your schedule, 4 out of the 8 wins that you have been against teams that are 500 or better. You almost beat Groton as well. You lost that one by 149-48. So the schedule's been tough here the first 10 games, and you guys have been able to still come away with 8 of 10 here to start the season.
Yeah, I mean, we have played well. You know, in the Groton game, we actually really let that one slip away. In the fourth quarter, we were only 4 of 10 from the free throw line. We missed our last 5 free throws to put them away. So we let that one get away. And that was a huge learning experience for my young guys about, you know, playing with that, some more experience about making free throws late in the game. So, you know, for us to go 8-10 this first 10 games, or 8-2 of the first 10 games, it's a big push for our young guys.
Yeah, it's something that Matt was talking about the other day, is just kind of not putting not hanging on, but putting somebody away. And that's exactly what you guys did against Duel on the road, against a really quality opponent there. Feels like that was a, you kind of utilize that Groton loss, kind of parlay that into the Duel one, and you say, all right, let's go ahead and put somebody away. That's a really quality win for you guys.
It is. That Duel and the Flandreau games were both quality wins. Sometimes in the fourth quarter, my young guys will try so hard not to lose instead of just constantly playing to win. But we got to just kind of change that mentality of just playing to win all the time and let the cards play as they lay out.
Got Aberdeen Ron Colley tonight, Coach. A good defensive team. They're 4-5. They have moments offensively. What's kind of the outlook of that one for you guys here tonight?
Well, they defend really well. They got some athletes on the floor that we're going to have to defend. And they got two big guys down low that we're going to have to keep off the boards. We got to find ways to score against them. Is the main thing. And then we have to rely on some defense to get stops, to get us maybe some transition, maybe some easy buckets. But, you know, they're a team that's getting better and better game by game.
Now, looking forward to that one tonight over on Pheasant Country 103. Couple more here with Jerome Nesham, the head coach of the Cyclones of Clark Little Lake. And obviously, like Matt mentioned, you've got the task at hand tonight with Ron Colley. But if we can just peek ahead a little bit to the Hanson Classic and that matchup against Lennox, that's going to be a fun one for sure. And just being invited to the Corn Palace, I bet for you, that's got to be a really, really cool deal. And maybe for the first time for some of these kids to play a game there in the Corn Palace this upcoming weekend.
Yeah, it is. It's a kind of a neat thing to play in the Hanson Classic. You know, we've been lucky enough to play it in the last couple of years. But we've always had a morning game just because we weren't very good. To have an afternoon game and against Lennox is going to bring a ton of athletes. I mean, there's a reason why they won the state football championship, because they are full of athletes. But it kind of gives us a measuring stick of, you know, Lennox in that DAC-12 is the upper echelon of Class A. So we got to kind of see where we're at and see if we can get to that point someday.
And looking at the polls in Class A, you got Sioux Falls Christian, Hamlin, Rapid City Christian, Lennox, as you just mentioned, and West Central. You know, do you feel, I know you're, you know, still kind of early in the season, that you can kind of compete with anybody in Class A on any given night?
I think we can. I mean, we shoot the ball well enough at times. We just got to be more consistent at it. We just, at times, we'll go 2, 3 minutes, 4 minutes during a quarter and not score. If we become more consistent, that's going to help us push us to play with those upper-level teams.
Sitting in that number 6 spot right now in terms of power points for Class A, do you really pay a whole heck of a lot of attention to, like Matt said, some of those other squads and, you know, West Central, Lennox, Sioux Falls Christian, some of those other squads? Or is it pretty much just, hey, we're keeping the blinders on, we're focused on, you're full-on Belichick mode?
Yeah, we really try to stay focused on what we need to get done. Later in the year, when we get to games 17, 18, 19, and 20, then we got to start looking at PowerPoints and see where we're going to fall, see where our matchups could be. But right now, you just kind of stay focused at what you do and kind of clean up what you don't do very well.
All right. You should have said we're on to Aberdeen Ron Colley with the, you know, the grumbling voice. You know, that's good old-fashioned Belichick there. We're on to Ron Colley. But, no, to your point, I'm looking forward to that matchup tonight and looking forward to the tail end of the season. Class A just feels like it's really balanced this year, and it's going to be a lot of fun to see how it all kind of shakes out. Appreciate you doing this here, Coach, and good luck against the Cavaliers tonight at home.
Hey, thank you.
You got it. Absolutely. Our pleasure for sure. Head coach Jerome Nesham here on Fox Sports Aberdeen always does a great job with that program. And I tell you what, I'm curious to see how Ron Colley can just kind of try to find a way to score, because to your point, they've had a really good defensive season, the Cavaliers have, but Clark Willow Lake feels like they've kind of done it on both ends of the floor, at least a little more consistently.
Yeah, I think that's the right word. They've been a little bit more consistent on the offensive end, and that's really where I think Ron Colley has struggled this year. They have moments where they look, hey, they can really put together a nice little 4-minute, 5-minute stretch. But Clark Will Lake, they've been a little bit consistent, but he did say a couple games in there that they dropped. They weren't as consistent with missed free throws or going on a 2 or 3 minute stretch where they didn't score. So I'll be interested to see how this one shakes out tonight. This Clark Will Lake team, they're young. they're athletic. And I think those guys, like, I think Fellberg, yes, he can play in the paint, but the new big man is you got to play outside as well. And I think that he can probably do that a little bit. Same with Emerson Larson, who we didn't bring up, but he's having a great season as well, and Bo Begeman. So those are the big three of their team, and they're kind of leading them right now.
We got Tim Kowiecki coming up here shortly, but you mentioned something on the air on, I think it was Friday, with Ryan. You guys were talking about free throws, free throw shooting. I think last year was the first year, no more one and ones.
Yes.
We both were like, really kind of like the one-on-one. And the coaches that you guys were talking to, they really didn't feel like it had that much of a change in terms of either strategy or the style of play. And I thought to myself, really? That's interesting to me, because I think it has a huge impact on the game.
Yeah, I thought so too. Now, I'm kind of used to it now just because I've seen it the past year plus. But when I first started, I was like, I don't really like it. It's grown on me a little bit, but it's interesting hearing the coach's perspective on it. They don't really think there's any strategy at all with it. And, you know, at five, my thing is, if you get four quick fouls and you get one more, you're shooting the rest of the way. I think that could have an impact on the game.
I thought so. Maybe they're just really good at compartmentalizing stuff, and they're like, yeah, we're moving on to this is the new rule, I guess. I don't know. Maybe we can talk about that with Tim Kowiecki coming up here next, right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Happy Thursday. We're officially on the back half of our work week, and we are joined on the phone line by the head coach of the Chargers of Hamlin, Tim Kowiecki. Coach, thanks for taking some time this morning. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm great. Thanks for having me.
You got it. It's our pleasure for sure, as you are affectionately known as Mr. Justin Jefferson 2.0. Every time we have you on the program, I always think about, you know, the state championship run a couple years ago and the gritty afterwards. And we'll leave the gritty questions off the air. I think we talked about that last time. But a really successful start to the season for you guys here so far. And, you know, Matt and I were kind of talking off the air about your squad. So many Stephensons on the program. It's just kind of like, hey, Stephenson, get over here. It's like, that's the way it was for me, you know. Hey, Tewksbury, get over here. And never had to worry about my brothers or anything like that. But we'll talk about them certainly. But a really solid start for the season. How do you guys like your, you know, where you're at right now at this point in time of the season?
Yeah, I like where we're at. We still have some learning to do. You know, we can't be the best right now. We want to be our best at the end of February and into March. But I like our progress that we've made. And we play a really, really good schedule. You know, we've played Sioux Falls Christian already. We played Ethan, who is always a good Class B school. And Groton has been really good. So all the schools that we seem to play have winning records. And that really just helps us prepare for the postseason.
Yeah, I'm looking here. It looks like 8 of your first 11 games are all against teams that have a 500 record or better. And you guys came away with that awesome win on the road at Sioux Valley on Tuesday the 14th, a 62-59 win for you guys. That had to be a big one there on the road at Sioux Valley's place.
Absolutely. You know, that's a big rival, and they always seem to play well against us. And we just – we're playing the greatest and somehow found another gear in the fourth quarter. And Izzy Stephenson came up big on a pass from Joe Stephenson and tied the game and put us into overtime. And then we kind of cruised from there.
You know, certainly a great start to the season. And I think if we're being honest, Matt and I would probably say that we had you penciled in for a good season. No two ways about it, but you still have to put it together. You know, you still have to put it all together. It's not like you just roll the ball out there and you're just good. So what do you kind of attribute that to? The fact that you've got a lot of senior leadership, or maybe you're just the best head coach in the world? I mean, what do you kind of attribute that to?
Well, I mean, obviously best head coach in the world, right?
No.
No, I've been fortunate to have good athletes and good leaders, and they seem to make me look good, which really helps a lot. So, you know, the addition of Addy Stephenson and Joe Stephenson, two seniors that have stepped in now, they just seem to be pretty calm on the floor and help things along and do a really nice job. Kids look up to them. Obviously, Addy Neuendorf, who's got experience, even though she's just a junior, she's experienced all sorts of state tournaments and championships and just knows how to play basketball. So those three are my captains, and they really help us a lot.
Yeah, and, you know, the Stephensons and Addie Neuendorf, they played volleyball. Volleyball team last year was, or this fall, was 25-3. Do you think that, you know, just carries over to the basketball court a little bit? Just, hey, we know how to win. I mean, is that something important with your program here moving forward?
Definitely. You know, I think a mindset and just confidence in themselves and their ability and knowing that they can do it together absolutely helps. You know, mental toughness, especially in the grind of a season, really makes a big difference.
We're talking with Tim Kuiesti, head coach of the Chargers of Hamlin, on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And not to give away too much, but we were talking about this in our first segment, that I've got Connor Libous for Pack Chat for the Northern State men's basketball squad. And one thing that we talked about, Coach, was competition. And he was saying that I feel like nowadays across the country in high school athletes, there's not a whole lot of, for lack of a better term, want to compete more and more in multiple sports. Obviously, I don't think that's a problem for us here in South Dakota. You almost have to compete in multiple sports. But can you kind of talk about that to a certain degree? Is just feels like these girls in particular, they just really love competing at a high level.
Absolutely. Especially in a smaller school like us, you know, we wouldn't have good volleyball teams and good basketball teams. And one of the nice things is the coaches here all seem to work together. Coach Heinrich and I understand that we got to share athletes and we want them to succeed at both volleyball and basketball. So that really helps out a lot too. But definitely the mindset of being able to switch sports, like I talked about, the confidence that it builds being successful in one versus the other really helps.
We were talking with a couple coaches last week, and right before you came on, we were talking a little bit about the free throws. And last year, it was the first year of the first to five, or not first to five, but five fouls, and you go to the line, it's two instead of the one and one, and then the two free throws when you hit the double bonus. What's your kind of thoughts on that? Are you used to it now? Do you like it? Is there strategy? Just kind of your overall thoughts on that.
I don't think it's affected the game a whole lot. You know, I don't seem to notice it. Maybe, like you said, maybe I'm just used to it now. And I'm used to seeing it in the college before it came here. So it wasn't really that big of a deal to me, I guess. I think it does kind of open up things for teams that press where, you know, you see a lot where one team has five fouls, another team has one in the first quarter, and then it flips around and one team has five. You know, so I think it kind of evens out, but it just seems to work out, I guess.
That's interesting because that's the difference between coaches and broadcasters. Maybe broadcasters are making a mountain out of a molehill and coaches are just like, eh, you know, it is what it is. Not a big deal. I thought that's kind of interesting for sure. As we're talking with the Hamlin Chargers girls head basketball coach, Tim Kuiesti, right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And want to go back to the Dakota State shootout here this last weekend. You guys down in Crofton, Nebraska. Is it tough to get film on a squad from out of state? Like, how does that even work out? And obviously, they're a really good squad anyway. That's a huge win for you guys. They're in a kind of a neutral site court.
Absolutely. They are perennially good. They were second last year in the state of Nebraska. I think they were undefeated going into the state championship last year, and they didn't lose much, and they are good. They're fast. And we're fortunate that a couple South Dakota schools play them, so we can get film from them. But even on the addition of Huddle nowadays, you can pretty much get film, or most schools are streaming online and it's on there. So if you really want to look at some film, you can get it.
Yeah, that game went overtime, but, Coach. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, yeah, that overtime game, we had some kids step up in that game. I don't know if you watched on YouTube, but DSU has it on YouTube. And we were down four with under a minute to go, and Addie Stephenson hits a big three-pointer to bring us to one. And then, you know, they went to their big girl, and she made both free throws. So we're down three with 10 seconds to go. We get it to half court, call a timeout. I'm pulling out sheets of plays and trying to figure out, and it's upside down, and the plays are in the wrong spot, and we're fibbling out, and I'm going, there's no way this is going to work, but we're going to try it. So they executed it perfectly. Addie Stephenson threw to an elevator on the backside. It was almost like a football pass, one-handed, dropped it into Addie Neuendorf, and she hit a three to tie the game. So it was some pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, that's the great unpredictability of late fourth quarter magic and overtime, right, Coach? I mean, you never know what can happen when it gets to the final minute of a fourth quarter. And then when you do tie it, or, you know, the team that was ahead, they let the team tie it, that makes overtime just that much better.
Yeah, we had all the momentum, and then, you know, we had my freshman center, Addie Jensen, hadn't scored all game long, and all of a sudden she gets a run out pass and scores two, gets another two off of assist from Paxton Neuendorf, and then makes a couple free throws. I think she had a block shot and a couple of deflections in overtime. So it's just fun to see different kids step up under pressure.
Well, I think I'm going to stick around with the best coach ever, because that's – I don't think coaches would ever tell you that. Hey, you know, I drew up this new play call. It was actually flipped upside down, and it actually worked out. So maybe you're onto something. I think you're onto something for sure.
I don't know. We're like – they're like, no, you got to turn it the other way. I'm like, okay, I got it.
Yeah.
Anyway, they execute it. So I got to give them credit, because they understood what I – you know, having good basketball knowledge, meaning that they knew what I wanted them to do, and they executed it. So
it worked out. It worked out perfectly. Tim Cuisti here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. I got to ask, do you like coaching in overtime games? I feel like I'd be so stressed out in overtime games. You know, some coaches are so dialed in. They love the intensity, high intensity. Some coaches are like, I'd rather win by 30 every single game. But do you like coaching in overtime games? How do you kind of approach that?
You know, someone's got to keep the fans interested, right?
I guess, yeah.
Definitely, I'm with the other coaches. You know, a nice, relaxing 30-point win is probably better. But also, how do you test your kids if you blow everybody out by 30 every night? When you get to where it matters, then they don't know how to perform under pressure. So for them to experience that just gives them that confidence.
Looking ahead at your schedule, you got Redfield tonight at home, and then Sisseton next Thursday as well. And it just seems like you and Sisseton the last couple of years have just had some incredible battles over the last, you know, couple years here. Obviously, they're 5-4 this year, maybe a little bit down from maybe years past, the last couple. But, I mean, when you guys play Sisseton, that one's always a really fun matchup.
Yeah, they've been good for the last several years and really push us. You know, Crystal Longauger is such a great player. I think she committed to USF, so obviously a big-time college player, and she's got something that we don't have, which is a lot of size. So it makes it tough for us to defend. So we're going to have to come up with a good plan for that one.
She's going to join one of your former players there in Cammie Wadsworth there, which was kind of cool to see her this last weekend, and saw Kylie Wadsworth off the floor. She, of course, went to presentation before it closed, and nice seeing that Wadsworth family down there. And, you know, you want to talk about basketball and Wadsworth, that just goes like a hand in a glove for sure. So does Neuendorf as well. I got to talk about Addie, maybe one or two more before we get you out of here. What has she kind of brought to your program here this season? Another multi-sport athlete that's just incredible in volleyball, but really nice point guard for you guys there too.
Well, you know how good she is at point, and that just makes everything that much easier. You know, just for example, Sioux Falls Christian, who is a pressing team, that's kind of their thing. I haven't ever seen them really take the press off. And when we played them, they had to take it off in the second quarter because we were breaking it and getting shots. So you got to give credit to our point guard for running the show and taking care of things. Now, obviously, others helped, but she just takes so much pressure off of the ball when she can handle it like that, and knows the plays front and back. She's, you know, she's just a true floor general where, you know, you got to be here. This is this play. You got to go here. You know, she is, if you watch her in practice or in games, she's just directing everyone where to go and just gets them all in the right spot. So to have that type of leadership with the ball in her hands all the time is super special.
Yeah, that's huge, right? If the team's pressing and you get it into the half court, having somebody like that as a point guard getting you set up in the half court is kind of what sets up the whole offense when you look at it. But sometimes, you know, you break a press and it's a little discombobulated. But when, you know, she's able to break the press and she's the point guard, you're able to kind of set things up in the half court.
Yeah, it's absolutely a necessity to have a good point guard, and I'm fortunate to have it.
Well, she knows the plays frontwards and backwards and upside down, like you said. So it all works out for you. And, well, if you guys are fortunate enough to win a state championship this year, and obviously there's a lot of work to do, final one before I get you out of here. You did the gritty last time. So what's the new TikTok hip dance that we are clearly not privy to? We have no idea about.
You know, there's apparently there's these kids that go into Costco or something and they do some little dance move. I don't exactly know, but the girls showed me it and they're thinking that that might be something we do. Right. It might be the boom or something.
Bring
like that.
The boom. Sure. Yeah, bring the boom.
Yeah.
Yep, I know what you're talking about.
That's what they've showed me. Maybe, you know, Justin Jefferson's got a little bit of a different edge to his gritty now, so maybe I can try and copy that. My first one wasn't very good, but, you know, I would be super happy to try something. That would be amazing.
Well, who needs to drop plays when you can drop dance moves? There you go. Good stuff. Well,
absolutely.
Congratulations on a great first half of the season. Obviously a long ways to go. Looking forward to following you guys continuously throughout the season here. Appreciate you doing this, Coach, and good luck in the second half of the year.
All right. Thank you very much for having me.
You got it. Our pleasure, for sure. Tim Kowiesty, head coach of the Chargers of Hamlin, friend of the program here on FSA. And I tell you what, man, I have no idea what the heck the boom dance is. Do you have a – you sounds like you know what exactly what he was talking about.
Yeah, I know. It's this – it's like this guy, Big Justice, and his
the
dad.
Rizzler, right?
Yeah, it's like all that. And they do this, like, song and dance, like, bring the boom. It's what we do. And they have a whole dance with it.
I had Gabe Gutierrez on the program for Pack Chat during football season. He was talking about shout-outs to, like, everybody. He was shouting out everybody.
Okay.
And he shouted out Big Justice and the Rizzler. And I was like – I got nothing on that one, dude. I'm like, who are these people?
Yeah, they go to Costco and they just like do that dance and sing.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of the premise of the whole thing.
I feel like Jerry Seinfeld or something. Who are these people? And it's just completely over my head. I'm not with it at all.
No.
I feel like I'm young and fairly hip.
TikTok's taken over.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably not on TikTok.
No, I am not.
Yeah.
Not my thing. More of an X guy.
Yeah, so you've said that.
Yeah, a time or two. All right, he's McClure, big TikTok guy over here. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. Our thanks to Jerome Nesham and Tim Kowiesty for joining us here on FSA. And just pulled up the video of the Crofton and Hamlin girls matchup there down at D-Dub's place, or Dakota State's place, sorry. Don't get mad at me, people in Mitchell. That's a heck of a play that was drawn up and a heck of a play executed. I mean, I feel like, as we're watching it here in studio, the degree of difficulty with this pass from the top of the key, kind of closer to the left slot here, over the action to the far side wing, over a double high screen, that's a pretty low degree of completion percentage, I feel like, with that pass.
Yeah, it's kind of like when a quarterback, when they throw an out route and they throw it before the person –
yeah,
turns and makes his break. That's kind of what it looks like there with Neuendorf. It's like, my teammate's going to be there. I'm going to throw it there, and we're going to execute the screen. We're going to get the player open, and that's exactly what happened there. What a pass. What a play drawn up, and you can't execute it much better there in a late-game situation. They came out of that timeout with 6.5, so they had some time to kind of set it up, but that would have worked with 2 seconds. With the way they executed it.
Yeah, that's executed to perfection, to be sure. Some Jeep action from last night on the college side of things. Speaking of D-Dub, they would defeat Waldorf last night in women's action, 88-37. Avery Orth with 15 points and 8 boards. Riley Rosenquist also chipping in 13 in the victory as well. Dort, they stay perfect on the season. They're 20-0, 14-0 in the GPAC. They down Briarcliff, 87-54. On the guys' side of things, Dakota Wesleyan all over Waldorf, 71-49. They got 17 points from Jacob Dobney in the victory there. And also of note, we've got ourselves an abundance of high school action here tonight across your Hub City Radio family of stations. And for the life of me, I don't understand this one. We were bellyaching about this either last week or 2 weeks ago. Makes absolutely no sense. That Ipswich is taking on Falkton tonight. That's girls' action, 7:30. Ipswich is taking on Falkton tomorrow night. Boys action, 7:30. What are we doing?
Yeah.
How is that not a doubleheader?
I don't know. We have that on our schedule, too. Ryan's doing the game tonight and tomorrow on KSDN.
Why not kill two birds with one stone?
I'm not exactly sure. I mean, those schools are pretty close, right?
I mean, they're in the same conference.
Yeah. I don't know. That would make sense.
I don't know. Maybe there's some Ipswich folk out there that can shoot me a text message and enlighten me on that one. I don't get it. I mean, you're playing at the exact same time. and all that good stuff, so kind of curious. Also, you've got Wabe Summit playing host to Aberdeen Christian on the girls' side tonight. Ron Colley and Clark Willow Lake, see, they're doing it. They've got a doubleheader.
Yep.
They figured it out, but neither here
maybe
nor there.
Maybe a wrestling conflict?
Maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know. I'm not quite sure.
We're going to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. That makes one of us. 281 Conference Tournament also today as well. Back at it tomorrow.